It's Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. You're with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up on Central Time, alcohol is a big part of our state's culture. We talked to one Wisconsinite about her journey through alcoholism and recovery.
But first, we catch up on the world of politics. Yesterday, of course, Super Tuesday, which further solidified Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump's leads for their respective parties.
And Speaker of the House Paul Ryan took on Trump over his reaction to some controversial endorsements.
Harry Enson is back with us now. He's a senior political writer and analyst for 538. Harry, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back.
So looking at Super Tuesday, did anything by way of the results shock you?
I don't know if anything shocked me per se. I would say on the Republican side, what to me is so interesting is if you average the vote across all the states that voted yesterday, Donald Trump got 34.5% of the vote. And if you average the vote of the first four states that voted before yesterday, he got 34.5% of the vote. For someone who's supposedly rising like an eagle, soaring like a phoenix, it seems to me that, in fact, his support has been fairly steady. That's enough in this divided field. But let's see what happens if people actually drop out, though nobody may drop out given they're all competitive with him.
So how about over on the Democratic side of things?
You know, nothing really surprising there. I mean, Hillary Clinton continues to dominate with African-Americans who are a base of the Democratic Party. I think the worst vote percentage she got among African-Americans in any of the states that voted yesterday was in Oklahoma, where she won, I think, 71% of the vote. And when you're winning only 71% of the vote, that's your worst. You're doing fairly well. In other states, she got well into the 80s. And in Alabama, I think she got 93% of the African-American vote. She has got a huge pledged delegate lead now. And given that Democrats award their delegates proportionately, it just seems very difficult looking at the math to understand how Bernie Sanders can come back.
And she had this to say last night as she celebrated her victory.
Now, I'm not interested in condemning whole categories of people or businesses. I'm just interested in making things right. So let there be no doubt. If you cheat your employees, exploit consumers, pollute our environment, or rip off the taxpayers, we're going to hold you accountable.
Hillary Clinton, fresh off a victory last night in Super Tuesday. And it's worth pointing out, though, that Bernie Sanders, he's still in there. But how strong is her position vis-a-vis Bernie Sanders?
I mean, Bernie Sanders is going to stay in this race for as long as he wants to. He has the money to do so. The problem is Jeb Bush learned money doesn't equal victories. And he can spend and spend and spend, but he's made no inroads with African-Americans. He lost Hispanics by 42 percentage points last night in Texas, and she's just got a huge pledged delegate lead. And if you just look at the states where he does well, there tend to be smaller states, they tend to be caucus states, they tend to be white states, and there just aren't enough pledged delegates in those states to really challenge Clinton's lead.
So given that, as you pointed out, he's got money to spare, I guess, right now at this point, so that's not going to be the deciding factor. What do you think will be the final shape of this matchup between Hillary and Bernie Sanders?
You know, I must admit I can't read people's minds, so I don't know exactly when if Bernie Sanders will drop out, but I think he has a message that's clearly caught on with a large number of voters on the Democratic side, not a majority, but a large percentage of voters. And I think that if nothing else, he has pushed Hillary Clinton to the left on any number of issues. And I think that if you talk to his followers, they would say that alone should be enough for him to stay in the race. And why not? He has the money and he has a right to run as any American does.
Now, looking over at the Republican side by way of comparison, seems like there is this sort of almost Reformation-like enthusiasm revving up Donald Trump supporters. Is there, do you see, a corollary on the Democratic side for Bernie Sanders? Is it playing out maybe just a little bit differently?
I would say that the Bernie Sanders folks are really these hardcore supporters who would go through thick and thin for Bernie Sanders, which is why he does so well in caucus states. Well, Donald Trump, in fact, does pretty terribly in caucus states. These are low propensity voters for Trump. These are voters who don't tend to turn out. The Sanders voters do tend to turn out, which is unfortunate for Sanders because he always talks about that he needs a record turnout in order to be able to win in primaries. He's not getting that. In fact, he's doing better when there's lower turnout in caucus states. While Trump is just a very different guy altogether. I mean, they're both outsiders for sure, but it's a very different type of voter that they're going after in my mind.
But Trump is increasing turnout, isn't he?
Well, there's increased turnout on the Republican side. There's a question of whether that's Trump over whether that's people who are voting in opposition to Trump. And more than that, the Republican side is just so much more competitive, right? So it's not really surprising that there would be more people that turned out. I mean, there was record turnout on the Dem side in 1988 and in 1980. And, in 1988, it wasn't exactly that there were people revving up the field. I mean, Dick Gephardt, Paul Simon, and Michael Dukakis are not exactly people that I think of when I'm listening to great all-time political speeches. But it was a competitive campaign, and that's what the Republican side is. It's very competitive. But to me, it's not surprising that you're seeing very large turnout.
We're talking Super Tuesday results with 538's Harry Enten right now. And here's a little bit of Donald Trump last night declaring victory.
We are going to be a much finer party, we're going to be a unified party. I mean, to be honest with you, and we are going to be a much bigger party. And you can see that happening. We're going to be a much bigger party.
So what about that, Harry? Donald Trump, the unifier, is that true?
He's certainly trying. If nothing else, Donald Trump can say one thing on Monday, say another thing on Tuesday, and say a third thing on Wednesday. I mean, yes, he is pulling in voters who had formerly voted Democratic, but these were voters who were turning over to the Republican side anyway. If you look at the polls, you look at the general election polls, at least at this point, he is not pulling over Democrats to be able to vote for him in the general election. That may change. But so far, there's no real evidence that Donald Trump is somehow going to get all these new Democratic voters on his side. And even if he does get these white Democrats, he's trailing, for instance, in an Ohio Quinnipiac poll, 92-1 among African Americans. He's turning off as many voters as he is bringing in to the Republican side
but
if he were to nominate.
Is it fair to say that he's reaching pockets of the conservative vote that maybe were feeling unrepresented before? Now they're coming into the tent.
I would say that he is reaching segments of the population that perhaps didn't feel like they had a voice before. I wouldn't say they're necessarily conservative, but I would say they're people who felt like they did not have a voice. White working class voters in particular who seem to be revved up by his campaign. I don't think that there's anyone that would doubt that. The real question is, how large is that percentage of the vote? And more than that, when he's bringing in these voters to the process, who is he turning off? We've already seen a number of Republicans, lifelong Republicans, saying that they would not vote for Donald Trump in the general election. It's Ben Sasse, a senator from Nebraska, Governor Charlie Baker of Massachusetts. We hear these people say, never Trump, we're not voting for a general. He starts losing voters. It doesn't matter how many picks up. What matters at the end of the day is the net gain.
So these people you're talking about, these voters that Trump may be reaching, are these undecideds? Are these independents? How do you categorize who these people might be?
I would say that there are people, if you ask them who they identify, they would say independent. And then if you say, which way do you lean, they almost always lean Republican. These are voters who tend not to necessarily vote in primaries, but they do vote in general elections. But they're low propensity voters, which is why, as I mentioned earlier, they don't seem to be showing up in the caucuses and why Trump last night lost in Alaska and lost in Minnesota.
And Ted Cruz, again, still there with Donald Trump, and he won his home state. It was not a given going in yesterday. How big a win was that for him?
Well, I would say it wasn't a given. I think most of the polls indicate that he's going to win, but it wasn't just that he won. It was the size of the victory. He won every single congressional district in that state. He got well into the 40s in terms of the vote total. But he didn't just win Texas. He also won in Oklahoma, won a decent victory there, and he beat Trump in Alaska. Most of the best states that Cruz has, they've already voted, but he's clearly going to be here for at least a little while longer, because when you win, that gives you credit to move on. But Cruz still has a big problem in northern states, still has a big problem in states that don't have large evangelical populations. He really made no dent in Massachusetts, no dent in Vermont, no dent in Virginia.
And we just got news this afternoon that Republican candidate Ben Carson issued a statement to his supporters last night saying he doesn't see a path forward. Good news for Ted Cruz?
The poll, yeah, I think most of the plurality of voters would go to Cruz, but the polls do indicate that Carson voters would be more split than all just going to Cruz. But remember, Carson only has a small percentage of the vote right now, so it's not going to make a huge difference. I will say that one difference it will make is we won't have to go to Carson in the debates anymore and him complaining about how much time he has.
And Harry, just super briefly, what are you looking for in the next couple primaries?
Can Donald Trump continue to win? If he's all about winning, let's see if he can continue to win. The delegate amounts aren't that high, but we have a few primaries this Saturday. Let's see if he can continue winning there.
Great. Harry, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
That was Harry Enten, senior political writer and analyst for 538. He joins us every week to give us an overview of what's happening in Washington.